Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Trucking Driver Podcast. I'm joined today by Ed Rogers from EM Rogers. Before we get into the podcast, I'd just like to point out the special deal that our sponsor TomTom has got on at the moment. If you click the link in the description to this podcast or scan the QR code, you'll be able to get a promotional code that gets you 1 month free of their truck sat-nav app that you can download for your iPhone or your Android. It's a fantastic system. You can try it for 1 month. If you decide to keep it, then there's an annual subscription, and we'll hope you enjoy trying it out. Let us know how you get on. You're trucking awesome. I am delighted to welcome onto the Truck and Driver Podcast a special guest. He's been in the news this week. It's Ed Rogers from EM Rogers, who's going to be chatting about the various issues that have been going on regards migrants sneaking into trucks and the fines that have been levied on them just recently, which it was £36,000 for the driver and £66,000, I believe, for the company, which is just crazy. But hi, delighted to have you on the podcast, Ed. Do you want to tell the listeners just a little bit about what the company does and what's been happening in sort of recent times?
Thanks, Diggy. Thanks for your time. We're a family business. We've been operating for 80 years next year, and of those 80 years, basically 50 of them, we've been going back and forth into the European Union, taking various goods from sort of JCB diggers to computers to steel to leather hides. And we bring back, sort of general cargo, a lot of shoes, bizarrely, to come back to Northampton. And, over the years, computers and that type of thing. The computer transport on trucks has stopped now, but that was sort of one of our things going back over the years. But the trade between the EU and the UK is something that we've been operating in for years. So that's what we do. And we're obviously subject to these fines, which on this occasion just seem astronomically high, and it's time that we've stuck our head above the parapet and questioning, how can people who are going about their daily business and their jobs be fined such crazy amounts of money for something that really isn't part, or shouldn't be part of their job?
Yeah, so I mean, the issues with migrants has been going on for a very long time. As you found that it's got worse in recent years, because there was a while where the mainstream media were picking up on it when things are starting to get a little bit violent and you were starting to see roadblocks placed in the road. And of course, one of your lorries was severely damaged in the process as well. So has it kind of changed in post-Brexit years? Or
you're right. It got very, very difficult a few years ago, where boulders were thrown into the roads. On my post that I put up on Facebook, I showed a photo of one of our trucks where rocks were hurled at the truck. Branches were shoved under the wheels of trucks to try and stop it, and the driver was actually hospitalised on that occasion. But that's not the only time we've had stuff thrown at trucks. It seems to be less violent towards the trucks at this stage, but I'm not taking away that these guys, so the drivers, are still subject to intimidating and dangerous conditions. If in the case that I've highlighted with six immigrants, if the driver's opening the doors to six men on his own, well, the odds tell you he's on the back foot. So, there are certainly intimidating circumstances for drivers still. Maybe not in the same way of stuff being hurled at the truck, but if you've got a number of people in your vehicle and you want them out, the odds are stacked against you. It's intimidating, certainly. And that's my concern, is that these guys are just going about their jobs. They want to collect goods, deliver goods, do their job, basically. They don't want to have to get people in and out of their truck. And somebody said to me yesterday, what another industry where you would be expected as part of your job, or not expected, that's the wrong term, or it happens as part of your job. You know, drivers get gassed, drivers get things thrown at them. They're dealing with these migrants. It is just unbelievable. And then they get fined on top of it, you know, for doing an honest day's work. It's, you know, it's unbelievable in many ways that anybody wants to do it.
Yeah. Now, with the Home Office was saying, you know, that the trucks need to be secured and everything. But I guess there's only so much that you can do with that. We've heard cases of people cutting open the roofs of fridges because, in terms of like cordless equipment, like, you know, like reciprocating saws and angle grinders are so powerful now that they can cut through everything. Have you found that there's been like a change in tactics? But you said it's organised gangs that are getting these people here and getting them over, so they really know what they're doing, it seems.
Likened this to someone breaking into your home, because actually the truck is the driver's home for the week. Yeah, and to what you're saying there about organised gangs, if someone is organised and they want to get into your home, they will get into your home. It's the same with the truck. You know, these are organised gangs. These are people that make a living dishonestly out of it. However they do that, and you know, we've got a theory that they literally stretch the side of the trailer, and even though it's all sealed up, to push people up between the curtain and the side of the trailer. Whether that's the case or not, obviously we don't know that, but that's the only way we can think that they do it, because they're not necessarily cutting in to the roofs of trailers. They're not cutting the curtains because they'd be obvious. The seals can't be cut and tampered with because, again, that would be obvious. So the only way we can think is that they're somehow opening the side of the trailer by using a ratchet strap or something like that to just create a small gap that people can get through. I personally wouldn't be able to get through that gap, but slimmer folk than I probably can.
Yeah. So again, where are they taking the opportunities to try and squeeze in? I take it there's like kind of, you would think that there should be like a sort of safe corridor for trucks to go and run all the way in. Are they like spreading further and further out, like into France, to try and squeeze into things?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, Calais is obviously a no-go zone for parking and that type of thing for the guys, because it's so dangerous. Although there are places there that say they are safe parking, how good or bad they are, we're not sure. But, you know, in this particular case, the driver's journey started in Dijon. So, you know, he's a good way south of Calais, a number of hours away from Calais. The guys are not, you know, even considering parking anywhere within 4 hours of Calais and just coming in straight in on one run from when they get up, as it were. So, yeah, we're having to move further and further away to make it in, as it were, as clean as possible.
Yeah, so there's no obvious signs of entry to the truck, so they're not causing damage. They're somehow sneaking into them in that manner, and they're moving further and further. They're moving further and further out.
Yeah.
But when they get there, they go through the scan. So they manage to get through the scanners on the French side, and then they get picked up at the British side.
It's amazing how that happens. I had a driver say to me yesterday, you know, thank you for raising this on our behalf, but I went through the French scanner the day before and they literally just waved me straight through. They didn't do anything at all and straight through to the British side. So, you know, it's either got to be everybody working on the same thing or no one does it at all. It's a very frustrating thing that, you know, you'd think that French Border Force would be willing to help, but I guess it's not necessarily in their interest to have people out of trucks on their side of the border. As soon as it gets over to the British side, it's a British problem.
Yeah, they're just kind of passing the buck on that. But what I would say is, if the Home Office, because it was just like a pre-prepared statement, it doesn't seem to be that they're looking at the nuance or the individual circumstances in cases where you could go and say, look, this is exactly what's happened here. How are you supposed to mitigate against that? And furthermore, as like you say, as a driver, you don't want to necessarily be engaging with six men that you potentially, it could be absolutely terrifying. But if that vehicle then goes through the scanners at the UK and then they find people in there, then therefore the system has worked. at some point. They have found people before they've got in. So why are they issuing such incredible fines for that? What are you supposed to do if you find those people in your lorry an hour away from Calais? You can't go and ask them to get out at the side of the road.
No, well, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess. In theory, we should call the police and go from there. But if you can't find them, if you can't physically get to them, if you think in the back of a trailer, mm-hmm. You got secure goods, and that type of thing. You can't always get over the top of a load and that type of thing. And you're saying about damage to the truck. Actually, what they do is they damage loads. So stuff turns as it's broken or got. Sometimes unpleasant human stuff on it, sort of thing. So there's definite damage to be caused to relationships and that type of thing through these people getting into your vehicles. So the system should be that the French should, in theory, on their side, come and get them out of the trucks, but not always the case.
Yes, they're not helping the situation with that at all. Yeah, because in terms of, like you say, like security with things, there's only so much that you can do if they're that determined and skillful with getting in, because a lot of these guys will have been getting people across for a long time now.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, I would imagine, I'm going to try and get some sort of statement from the Home Office to find out what their opinion is on the limitations of security, because if you're doing, how many crossings are you doing a year? Like, it's thousands.
So we're 50 crossings a week, so it's going to be, 2,500 very roughly a year, and as I said the other day on the news, we've had two incidents in 3 years, so that's 7,500 crossings. I would personally say they're pretty good statistics, but they said we're a repeat offender, and that's why, even though we're Border Force accredited, we're at a Border Force accredited haulier. We've spoken to Border Force on a number of occasions and said to them, what more can we do? We go above and beyond your requirements for us. We do more checks. We have better cords. We have padlocks, seals. We do more than is the standard requirement. What more can we do? We will help you with any intel that we get of where people are congregating for this type of thing. Here we've offered our services to try and help as best as we possibly can with Border Force. As yet, they've not taken us up on the offer, but the reason we wanted to sort of make some noise about it now is with those 50 crossings every, we could have this almost as a daily occurrence because of the number of crossings.
Absolutely.
The drivers are incredibly diligent. They do their absolute best to make sure that it doesn't happen. But the numbers mean at some point, there's going to be something happen.
That's it. That's exactly. I would imagine that the sort of Border Force Home Office should be looking at the number of crossings that you are making and the tiny number of incidents, and they should be, they should be praising you for that and saying, what a fantastic job you're actually doing, because you're never going to completely stop this happening. And as it happened with that case there, the Border Force, when they did manage to stop them before they got right the way through. Anyway, so that's just incredibly frustrating, because it almost seems it's not a matter of if, it's when something is going to happen like that again. And that I don't see what the benefit of them is just using a stick like this with these huge fines to beat you with. It's terrifying for the driver.
Yeah.
And a £36,000 fine for a driver, that could put you out in the street. Yeah. You could lose your home over that.
Well, the driver who's on this occasion, he's 63, 64 years old. Well, actually, why do I want to do this anymore? I get up at 3 in the morning. In this case, I get up at 3 in the morning. I check my load. Why do I want to do all this and then get a £36,000 fine? Why don't I just sort of go back on a bay at one of the supermarkets or something like that and take my retirement? That's the frustration is the not sort of the not humanizing it from our side.
No, it's not at all.
you know, that's what you're expected to do, and nothing else. You know, the other frustration is obviously we see in the news almost on a daily basis dinghies arriving in Dover or crossing the Channel, and there's no issue there, or other than the country's paying for people arriving, but nobody gets fined for that, and no border force can stop that. So how's a 64-year-old driver on his own at 3 o'clock in the morning expected to stop six people? Or wherever, whatever it is. That's the frustrating thing, is it almost sort of one set of rules for one way of doing it, and then we're expected to do something completely different.
Yeah, it's not fair to put all that responsibility onto a driver whose job it is to move those goods. If they've been diligent with security and all their checks and things, if very occasionally they should be looking at the big picture on that and saying, okay, that whoever's managed to sneak in here have done an exceptional job. They've been really good at it, and we know that it's an exceptional circumstance. So, yeah, it's just farcical and so frustrating. I think it's because hauliers are just a sitting duck.
I understand. I totally understand that they want to stop people being, involved in it, basically, and bringing hundreds of people across at a time and being part of the organised gang. That's certainly not what we are about. We just want to earn an honest living doing our best. And this is just incredibly frustrating and incredibly unfair, we feel. And that's why, I've put my head above the parapet to be shot at, I suppose.
Yeah, no, fair play. You know, I was getting so many messages about it, and you've obviously got so much support right across all the transport industry as well with this. I would imagine that you've got other hauliers been in contact with you as well who've been dealing with this, because you can't be the only guys who are dealing with the border force behaving like this.
Yeah, we've had a number of hauliers contact us and message us about their fines, and please keep in touch with them as what we do has progressed. That I guess people don't always want to sort of go out there and make a fuss, do they? But actually, when it's such vast numbers, as you say, what's got to make it change? Has the driver got to do something silly or that type of thing before there's real change? In making it happen, it's not fair on a driver that he should be fined like that. It's not fair on us as a company. We go to great lengths to protect our vehicles, protect our drivers. We do lots of training, quarterly reviews, audits of all their paperwork to make sure that they're adhering to all the requirements. So it's not as if we're taking this lightly. It's not as if we're bothering about it. We take it really, really seriously, and we almost want to be an industry leader in making sure that we do everything right on it. And we've spoken to Border Force, as I say, about doing that. As yet, we've not been taken up on it, but we continue to want to get it right and avoid these fines, because with so many crossings, it's, as you said, inevitable. At some point, something will happen.
Yeah, and I'd look at that and go, your figures are really impressive with that. And they say it's maybe a bit less attractive to people to come across in lorries at the moment than it is to go over in boats, but you're always going to have this to deal with. And as things have all been changed, they're going to change their tactics, they're going to move further out, they're going to find different ways to try and get into trailers. So you're constantly going to have a small amount of people managing to get in at something. You're never going to completely eliminate it.
No.
And they managed to catch them at the scanners at the end there anyway. So the system ultimately worked. So yeah, just a ridiculous situation to be in with that. So in the process, are you able to appeal these fines? Can you take it up?
After this call today, we're speaking to a lawyer who contacted us on Monday. We're going to speak to him and continue to sort of fight it as best as we can, really. So, there's an appeal, and hopefully, maybe some good news comes of it at a later stage.
Yes, the best of luck with it, everybody. Everybody here, so everybody in transport is right behind you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us this morning, and give us an insight into what's been going on with all this situation, and hopefully Border Force will ultimately sort of, and the authorities will sort of see sense on this matter going forward, and appreciate the lengths that you go to and how good the overall record is with all these crossings that you do each week.
Thanks, Diggy. Thank you for your time. That's great. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truck and Driver podcast, proudly sponsored by TomTom. As a special thanks to our listeners for trucking through the holiday season, we're giving away 1 month free of TomTom Go Navigation Truck. Simply download the Go Navigation app and use the code TRUCKYEAH. That's TRUCKYEAH when subscribing. Safe travels, folks.